सर्वधर्मान् परित्यज्य मामेकं शरणं व्रज.
The miseries of material existence and the most hopeless conditions of life is the best possible opportunity to turn to God.
You're listening to Bare Knuckle Bhakti Shorties on the Bhakti Recovery Podcast with Jiva G, coming at you every Monday with a little spiritual sum.
Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. It's me, your friendly neighborhood Jiva, recovering addict and aspiring devotee. We're going to talk about step one. Guess what we're going to do? I'm going to talk about step one. Powerless over my addictions and associated behaviors. And my life has become unmanageable. So there are so many layers to step one, and that is a huge statement. I mean, just think about it. Admitting your powerlessness. I think so many people get so fearful when they have to admit their own powerlessness, because that would suggest that we have absolutely no control. And for most addicts and alcoholics, denial is not a river in Egypt. For me, it was pretty clear, especially when it came to drugs and alcohol. It was a very long, of course, also with associated behaviors, but that's something to talk about afterwards. I'm going to first address the mind and mood altering substances. And you know what? Later on, I discovered I can just put my codependency right in there. Powerless over relationships. And I don't mean it like I mean that in a way that I'm understanding that in a way I've never understood that before. It's not like, oh, I can't control people, so just let God do it. And then secretly want to have control? No. Or secretly try to lie to ourselves and try to control things in a manipulative, maybe passive-aggressive way. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm literally talking about the true admittance of powerlessness. And then what comes after that? This true feeling of surrender, and that didn't really come with me until I was fully able to look at steps 2 and 3, but we are just talking about step 1 now, and I will get into that when we talk about step 2. So I'm going to do each step for the next, yeah, I guess 12 times. So let's get back to it. I was talking about being powerless over mood and mind-altering substances. What does that suggestion of me being powerless over that mean? Well, first of all, later on, that admittance meant freedom. So I want to be really clear. When we're talking about, I don't know about you, but I know for me, I tried every which way to control my drug use. I tried weekends, being a weekend warrior. I tried every other day. I tried everything. I tried full moon, Tuesdays, only after 6. I mean, the list goes on. And what always wound up happening was that at the moment I suggested controlling, it became absolutely impossible for me to control that. It just got worse. I wanted to use even more. So that was very clear in my life. And the unmanageability, because I was a heroin addict. And at the end, I was using heroin and cocaine. The consequences of using drugs like that, at least for me, were indisputably unmanageability. And for some, it might, for others, it might be a lot more subtle. So getting to the point of that admittance, and I'm just going to talk about first the powerlessness, and then I'll talk about the unmanageability afterwards, but because we're going to put this into two parts. The admittance of powerlessness and how that actually will change your life forever. If we really look at unmanageability, how that plays out in each and every one of us in our lives. So when I got into the program, I knew I was in Berlin when I hit my bottom. And I knew on that day, after a slew of the most chaotic bottom feeding events had happened, I knew there was a moment where I literally had a divine intervention. I've talked about that in other podcasts. Perhaps I'll talk about that now, actually. I was standing on a street in Berlin, and it was, the day had been very warm. It was February, and the day had been really warm, like unusually warm. It was 1997, and the evening, I had just gotten I had gotten arrested earlier that day and just gotten released, and I was just looking to score, and I just had this flimsy long sleeve t-shirt on, because it had been so warm on that day. And I think I weighed 92 pounds at 5'7". It started snowing, and it was probably about 1 a.m. And I was looking down this street, and the snow had just started frosting the street, and I can see all of the snowflakes coming down through the streetlights in a straight line all the way down, and it looked so surreally beautiful. And looking down this empty street, I went to the street to get some drugs, and there was nobody there. It was completely desolate. It was empty. And I looked down that street, and it hit me like this beautiful, beautiful scenery and me, this broken individual just getting out of jail, needed a fix because I was sick, dope sick as hell, shaking in the cold. And just this small thought came to me, and it was, this can't be the rest of my life. This can't be the rest of my life. And at that moment, I knew that I was beat, that no matter what I did, no matter how I could move forward, that it was doomed if I were to be trying to control things, because I was there and I knew my life was completely out of control, completely unmanageable. And I had absolutely no say in what I was doing. I was ruled by drugs. The getting them, the finding them, and ways and means of putting it in my arm, that told me every single day what I was doing. That had me on a real tight schedule. That was the first time in my life that I was dedicated to anything. I was a dedicated junkie. So at that moment, it was as if guide had literally put his hand on my shoulder and whispered that sentence in my ear. And I knew that it was over. I turned around, and at this time there were phone booths. I turned around and made a collect call to my dad, and I told him I need to come back to New York, and I need to kick, and if he could please help me. And that he did. That was the moment that I gave up power, that I gave up thinking that I'm the controller, that I gave up thinking or believing that I knew better than, or I could outsmart the consequences of my actions. I literally believed for so many years that I could outsmart the consequences of my actions. How do I figure out the formula of using without its consequences? That was what I was trying to figure out. And I lost miserably. So I'm going to forward into the future. Sorry if the sound quality has changed. I have changed my location. Got to be flexible, huh? So I wound up in that moment knowing that the jig was up. And when I really, you know, because of all the times that I tried to stop and all the times that I tried giving up and all the times that I failed, I learned not to trust anything, anyone, let alone myself. And that it will never work because the drugs are stronger than me. And I knew this in the moment. And I knew that I was up against the most mighty enemy of all. And I knew, fortunately, that the 12-step program was the only thing that was going to help me. Because I had been trying to get clean anyway, up to those years. My first meeting was in like 86. And I didn't get clean until 97. So earlier I was talking about being powerless, not only over mind and mood altering substances, but as well being powerless over people, places, and things. You know, I didn't know how, at that time, I didn't know how powerful this disease was. And I also didn't realize, because now in Krishna consciousness, I see this powerlessness as just that I am not the controller and I am not the knower. And I thought that when I stopped using, everything would be great. If those problems go away, then all my problems go away. And what I did was I was subtly using relationships, boyfriends, all kinds of things, sugar, anything I can get my hands on. You know, actually, after I surrendered, after I came to the program, after I had some months clean and sober, I really started to, I would say I started to understand a little bit more the nature of this disease. However, again, I was not willing to listen. Hands off drugs and alcohol. Hands off all of that stuff. But everything else is fair game. Fair game indeed. And I continued that way. I also didn't want to hear anything about codependency. Didn't want to hear a thing about it. Didn't want to hear a thing about it. I figured as long as I'm not using drugs and alcohol, then, like I said, everything's fair game. So with the knowledge of you know, just the first step, only, you know, with the lens of my addiction to drugs, my life got way better, way quick, like really quick. And I started getting manageability in my life. I had a lot of support. I was very grateful for that. I had the program. I went to a program every single day. I went to 2 meetings a day for the first 90 days of my recovery. And this was so important for me. And then it started to normalize, and I would go to a meeting a day for the first, 10 years of my sobriety. So I knew from every single cell in my being that I was powerless over my addictions, and I knew that if I continued doing that, my life would be completely unmanageable. I'm so sorry if it's loud here, guys. It's the only option I have at the moment. Bear with me. I'm powerless over the traffic. And everybody else walking by on the street. And if I don't let go completely, well, I'm going to be uncomfortable. So I can go kicking and screaming, or I can go willingly to the fact that there are powers that be, there are things that I can't control, and I'm going to have to let that one go. That's today. Anyway, I have an appointment. I would love to go further into this with you guys. The unmanageability part, the second part of the step, I'm going to try and do in a couple of days. I'm having a surgery in about an hour, so I might be incapacitated for the next few days. No worries, it's all good. A minor thing. And it was a pleasure telling you my story, a little bit of it. It was a pleasure talking about the first step. I can talk about the first step every single day, every minute, because that is the start of my day. If I don't open my eyes in the morning and my first thought is, I'm powerless over the threefold miseries, those devotees will know what I'm talking about. If I don't start my day like that, or if I don't at least remind myself throughout the day about that fact, then I'm not going to have such a nice day. You know, just before I go into the clinic, I wanted to say that powerlessness is the admittance of powerlessness is probably the most freeing and powerful thing that anyone can do, especially knowing that powerlessness does not equal helplessness. If we are powerless over people, places, and things, it does not mean we are helpless to change our behaviors surrounding those things. And every single day, there is something out there that I can look at and learn from, if I am willing. Sometimes I am not. Mostly I am. However, I have the rest of the steps helping me do that on a daily basis. And, you know, the God of my understanding, we're going into the seconds and third steps. I'll get into that afterwards. I'm not talking too much about Krishna consciousness in this talk because we're really only talking about the first step. As I go through all the steps through my experience, I will speak on all of that. So I wish you guys the nicest of days, evenings, and afternoons. I love you all. And Hari Bol.
Thanks for listening. I hope you like the Monday Shorties. Don't forget to check out our full-length episodes on Thursdays. If you like what you heard, spread the word. Peace out.
Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja.
The miseries of material existence and the most hopeless conditions of life is the best possible opportunity to turn to God.